And we welcome you to another edition of In Touch with Kale and Cormier on 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. That's where you can find all the past programs of this particular show and all the other great programming on WKXL. Ken Kale and Jane Cormier here, and we are going to do something different today, something very different. We don't have a guest today. It's just you and me, Jane.
That's right.
So what we're going to do, we talked about this, we're going to ask each other at least five questions.
Yes.
There could be more, but at least five questions that people are going to find fascinating.
Yes.
I'm sure. People love this, and we will see how it goes. So I am going to turn it over to you, and
okay.
You can ask.
I'm going to ask the first question
of me.
Well, first of all, I for folks out there, I really just met Ken like a month ago, right? When we started doing our program here.
Exactly.
So there are large areas that I would be able to ask because I really don't know you at all. So when you're listening to this, these are not canned questions.
They're not. And I must say also, and one more caveat before we progress here, and that is we did not say what topic they had to be on,
no.
The subject, or anything.
That's
it
right.
It could be anything.
Absolutely.
All right.
And so, you know, we're not going to ask questions maybe even that you might think of, but hey, that's great listening, right? That's a great show.
Well,
so.
that is our hope.
We'll go there. All right. So, Ken, I want you to describe yourself. Describe yourself in five words.
Five words. Let's see. Neat dresser and swell dancer.
What? Really? Neat dresser?
Okay. Yeah.
And
you know that part's not true.
Well, no, it is. You're always, of course you are. You're always well-dressed. A swell dancer? Is that what you said?
Those are the first five words that came to my mind.
That's four.
Yeah.
Give me a fifth.
I said neat dresser and swell dancer.
Oh, you
but
said
we won't,
and?
We won't,
oh, my
we won't,
God.
We won't nitpick.
Really?
We won't nitpick.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And
that's really, you know, and I'm not letting that go. That's
adventurous.
Too adventurous is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Adventurous.
Yes. Adventurous.
Okay.
Yes.
That's still not really deep. Not like this. Not really telling me about Ken Kale inside.
Okay.
You know, I'm. You like to dance. That's awesome.
I didn't say I did it well.
Well, you said swell dancers. So you must be competent.
Well,
you know,
I don't mind dancing.
Guy.
I'm not one of these people that. If I'm at a place that has dancing, yeah. I don't sit on the sidelines. Let's
good
put
for
it that
you.
Way.
Good for you. I love that. Okay.
And sometimes I'm braver than others.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
Depending on certain outside influences, but I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. I'm going to keep that in mind. Awesome. All right. So should I give you five? You know what? Because I didn't really think in depth about it. But see, I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking in a relatively long life. Those five words have changed dramatically. The five words I would have had even 5 years ago would probably be very different from the five words today. So,
I see. Okay.
I'm assuming I should answer now. I'll answer now.
Okay. You feel free.
Of course, now remember, I'm 62, right? So it's changed.
Well, you're still young.
Well,
you're still a very young woman.
There you go.
A lot younger than I am.
Ha, ha, ha. All right. So at 62, I'd say one is I am more thoughtful. When I say thoughtful, I mean thinking things through, right? In the past, because I very passionate nature, and I think probably hindsight being what it is, I maybe decided things or made decisions that were not as thought out as they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think that I think out things more.
I think we could probably all say that.
You
really.
Think that's just
I think everybody has made decisions they would look back on and say, well, I should have probably done the other. But,
yeah.
You know, that's just life, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And I don't have any regrets from any of those decisions. But, you know, rearing kids,
yep.
Right? All you folks out there that have kids know this. You know, as you get older, this didn't happen when I was working with my kids, right? When my kids were home and every day we were, you know, juggling the balls to keep things moving, right?
Sure, sure.
But when you get older, you start to think about things and you think, well, gee, you know, maybe I shouldn't have handled things that way. Or, you know, I could have found a better way to say something. it comes back. You know, when you get older, you start to think about those things. At least I do.
Yeah.
I think
you do.
Yeah.
You absolutely do reflect. You have periods of reflection.
We do. We do.
Yeah.
I one of the five words that hasn't changed, and it probably won't change, I hope anyway, is that I'm extremely passionate about my belief system. In other words, if there's something that I take under my wing to initiate, I will finish that task to the best of my ability and complete it because I have great passion for what I feel is important.
You complete what you start.
I do. I complete what I start.
Very important.
Well,
very important and a great quality to have. A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't.
I'm just wired that way. You know, if you're going to take something on, finish it. Don't take it on halfway and then leave it. You know, that's just not a great way to think. So I like to think that I'm very inquiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I like the puzzle that people sometimes offer, that what you see and what you hear don't mesh.
Mm-hmm.
What you do and what you say don't mesh, or whatever it might be. I like the puzzles. I think that's why I'm a good teacher.
Yeah.
Because when I see my students in my classroom, and I could see what they say, and then I see what they do, and it doesn't quite jive, I find another way into that puzzle to get it, to figure it out. And I think good teachers need to do that. They need to be on their toes in front of their kids and seeing how every single kid can be engaged in the classroom. So I'm big on that. I think I'm happy-go-lucky. I think that I might have moments where life isn't so swell, but happy-go-lucky would be one. No, that's not. Happy, go, lucky. That's three words. So I've gone way over the five.
You've gone over the limit, but that's okay. It's okay.
And I love the arts. That would have to be one of the five important words.
And I do, too. I'm not very good at any of them, but I enjoy them.
But you know what? You go to them. That's important.
I do.
You know?
I'm a patron of the arts.
Yeah, you are. You are. Absolutely.
Right.
It's one of the reasons why I like you.
Well, thank you.
There's others, too, but...
All right. Along those lines, my first question to you is going to be, do you come from a musical family?
No. No. I will say that when my mom was very young, she did sing in a big band.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when she got married at 21, I think she married at 21, all the music pretty much stopped. So I'm the last of nine kids.
Wow.
And I'm the only, my brother plays the drums or played the drums. He played it while he was younger. But I was the only one that took the music bug seriously.
And you took it very seriously.
Very seriously.
Very seriously.
Yes.
Yes.
I took it to silly extremes.
Silly extremes.
I did. So I was the opera singer, the young opera singer at 24 to 27, that was walking around New York City with no money in her pocket because all the money went to the coaches and the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do things like buy a bagel at the little diner down the corner and cut it in half and make the bagel last because there wasn't any money. I had to get home, right? And I was living there 4 days and coming home three or vice versa.
Yeah.
And money was very tight. So I think back to the things I did, and I go, my God, I was crazy.
You were a starving artist.
What the heck was that?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But look where you are now.
Yeah. It all came to good, for sure.
See? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Everybody has to go through some hard times, whether it's financially or otherwise.
Absolutely.
But then you're stronger.
Yeah.
As a result.
Never. The only thing, and I tell my kids this all the time in school, they probably look at me and go, oh, Miss Cormier, you know, the eyes are, oh, Mrs. Cormier. But the truth is the thing that you might fail at is never the thing that you will regret when you get older. The thing that you don't try, that you wanted to, is the thing that you will regret.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Very well said. All right. Are you ready for
another question?
Number two.
Okay. Okay.
No, no.
Oh, you want me to give one?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
it's your turn. All right,
there
you go.
Your turn, Jane.
Okay, what was your career goal when you were young?
When I was young, my career goal was to, honestly, pretty much do what I'm doing now, and that's be on the radio.
Really?
Right. I never had any particular job in mind in radio, except that I knew I wanted to get into sportscasting.
Wow.
But anything else that came along, you know, throughout the years would be great as well. So I've done virtually everything in broadcasting from, I guess most people, you know, look at me and I'm synonymous with the Monarchs because I did them for 17 years. But you know, that was fairly late in my career.
Right.
I mean, that I didn't start doing that until I was, you know, well over 40, doing the Monarchs for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what people think of me when I think most people.
Yeah.
But I've done news on the radio. I've done a lot of music, disc jockeying on the radio.
Cool.
On several stations and done a number of talk shows. I started off at WBZ in Boston.
Wow.
Working behind the scenes, producing talk shows and that sort of thing. Moved on to Connecticut for a year to another station down there and doing some on-air work and working behind the scenes as well. And then had a chance to do my own sports talk show and came to New Hampshire in 1977, it would have been. So, yeah.
So you were lucky to do it the whole time.
I have. I really have only had one job outside of broadcasting.
Cool.
And I enjoyed it. At the time, I was kind of at a station where I was kind of at a dead end.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was making as much money that I would probably ever make, which was not very much at the time. And there was really no chance there of doing much else for what I was doing in my capacity. So I decided to take a job. For 3 years, I was one of the hosts of the Easter Seals Telethon.
Oh, cool.
I was working at a station in Manchester. They asked me one day if I would like to host the Easter Seal Telethon. So I did it with Bill Morrissey, who was a disc jockey at the time at a station in Manchester.
Okay.
And former Miss New Hampshire, Kathy Burnham, who was on TV for a number of years on WMUR.
Mm-hmm.
And now has written any number of books. She's gone on to do a lot, but me, not so much. But I did the 3 years of one of the co-hosts on the Easter Seal Telethon. And so they knew me at Easter Seals and liked me and actually offered me a job.
Cool.
In their development department. It paid me like twice what I was making in radio at the time. And at the time I had one young daughter. So I had to, you know, be careful and, you know, make sure I had insurance and all the benefits and what have you. So I started in 1986 at Easter Seals in their development department,
which
is basically asking people for money.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And
hard
Easter
job.
Seals is a great, great organization. Yes. And to this day, I have a great deal of admiration for what they do and their programs and their services. But I'm not the kind of person that likes to ask for money.
Yeah.
I'm really a pretty shy and retiring kind of person, even though you know, I'm a swell dancer.
Yeah, that's right.
But when it comes to asking for money, I can, you know, tell you that the organization is fantastic, which I think it is. It was then, still is.
Mm-hmm.
But to ask for substantial amounts of money.
Yeah.
That takes a special kind of talent.
It
was not my thing. So the people there were great. Nothing against the people that were there or anything like that. But it just wasn't for me. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So I started in April of 86. And then on September of that year, the supervisor of our development department walked into my office that I had there and said that Easter Seals was making some cuts.
Oh, no.
And that they had to lay off the most recent people that were hired, and one of whom was me, and a couple of co-workers in the same department as well. And as a result, we were all laid off, if you will, or fired. But they gave us some severance, and really, I felt, you know, normally when you get laid off or canned or whatever you want to say, you know, you feel awful about it. Actually, I felt like the weight of the world was taken off my shoulders. I mean,
divine intervention.
Especially since, you know, they did give me, you know, and I only had been there a short time, really, like 6 months or whatever it was.
Right.
And, you know, nice, you know, they gave me a month's salary, which was nice, and was able to get back on my feet during that time.
Yeah.
And then I went back to doing my radio thing and did a lot of sports play by play. Talk shows, music shows, what have you. And, you know, I can honestly say, you know, I really don't feel as if I've worked too many days in my life.
Yep.
Because I always enjoy doing whatever it is that I've done.
That's right.
On the radio.
That's
or
awesome.
Even behind the scenes in radio.
That's really the sign of success, you know. And my other show that I'm doing, the Artful Living Show, here at WKXL.
Great show.
The reason I'm doing it is because this whole side of life, it has been very different, this whole passage thing, getting older and that. And there is a certain grace that if you just are thinking about things in a different way that you can have now that you wouldn't have before. And one of the things that comes to mind with what you're saying is that we have judged success so much on financial stuff and, you know, famous and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, if you have lived your life doing something that when you woke up it didn't feel like work, that's success. That's the ultimate success. Because when you're at the end, you're never going to look back and go, oh, what did I do? What was that? Right?
Yeah, right?
And we see that a lot. I don't know about you, but I see it a lot.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
In folks. I see it even in young folks.
No, that is very true.
Yeah.
Very, very true.
So I think we're both very lucky. We were able to live our life.
Yeah, you know? I would agree.
Yeah.
You know, my bank account may say differently, but, you know.
It's okay. You did good. Absolutely.
Yep, no doubt about that. So my question number two is, what was your first involvement in politics?
Oh, mamma mia, that's easy. 2011.
So not that long ago.
No,
really, 10 years
are you
ago.
Kidding me? That's what I'm saying. I mean, we go, you know, opera's wonderful, right? Here's an allegory here, whatever. That it goes in acts, right? First, second, and third acts. My life has gone in third, second, and third acts. And certainly too late into the second act, I had a friend that was a voice student who was very politically oriented. Now, at that point, I had always been a conservative. That's just the way I was. That's just the way it was. I didn't talk about it to anybody. There was never any conflict with it. That's just inside. That's how I was, and there was no big deal with that. But after I met this friend in 2010, or maybe it was 2011, she started talking to me about things that I had never thought of before in context with what my belief system was and certainly where the trajectory of this republic that we have was going. And that interaction with her, the scales fell off my eyes. And I felt like it might not be real convenient right now, and it never was. Politics was never convenient. But I have a certain viewpoint that I think is important to be heard. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to run, which if you had asked me a year before that, I would have laughed at you to think, are you serious? You know, so 2011, and that's when I got politically, you know, active. Yeah.
And I guess the quick follow-up would be, are you ever going to run for political office again?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I intend to. But I don't know when, and I won't tell you how.
But the door is open, folks.
The door is open.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Governor Cormier.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Boy, I can only imagine.
Yeah. Scary.
You're listening to In Touch with Kale and Cormier right here on 103.9 1450 WKXL and nhtalkradio.com. Ken Kale and Jane Cormier here. And stay tuned because we have a whole lot more to discuss as we continue on this our fifth, I believe, show already.
Really?
Time flies when you're having fun right here at 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Welcome back. It is In Touch with Cale and Cormier on 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com as well, where you can listen to all the past episodes of this show, Feldis and Cale, all the great shows that Matt Robeson and Paul Hodes do on the station, A.J. Kierstead and his morning show.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, we have some great programming here.
Yes.
On WKXL, and maybe more on the way. Who knows what the future holds? So I think it is your turn. We're playing five questions today. If you're just joining us, I'm asking Jane five questions, and in turn, she's asking me five questions.
That's right.
Because we really don't know each other that well. It's true, folks. Even though the chemistry is fantastic, we don't know each other that well. It's true.
That's right.
Yes. So question number three is...
My question to you is, who are the people that have inspired you?
First one, I would say, first of all, my mother.
Okay.
And she was, a real inspiration to me because she was a very talkative person, but, it was great with people, loved sports.
Mm-hmm.
And backed, pretty much everything that I did. When I was in the early grades at school, even first and second grade, I can remember trying to write, even at that time, compositions on sports. And I know my first and second grade teachers were not all that thrilled with that. They were both in their, let's say, later years, and weren't thrilled with, whatever I was at the time, 7 or 8 year old kid writing about sports. My third grade teacher was very supportive, and I only continued to do it because my mother said, one of these days somebody's gonna, like what you write, and they're gonna let you, express yourself and do what you want to do. And so anyway, I kept doing it through my mother's advice. And in the third grade, I ran into a teacher, Mrs. Murphy was her name.
Wow.
And she thought it was great.
Wow.
She was a big sports fan, and maybe even a bigger sports fan than I was.
Wow.
At that time, which is saying something. So she was an inspiration, but if it wasn't for my mother, I probably would have, given up writing sports. But my mother took my side, not the teacher's side. So she was an inspiration and always wanted me to pursue my dreams of being on the radio or writing or whatever it was. So she was really an inspiration. Another individual that came into my life was Bob Wilson, who was the longtime voice of the Boston Bruins.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he left us a number of years ago. But one night at the old Boston Garden, I was there with a friend of mine. We were going to the first ever Boston Braves hockey game. And the Braves at the time were an American Hockey League affiliate of the Bruins. And my friend Bobby Bliss and I were in the stands that night at the old garden. And I looked up into the broadcasting booth because I always did. I was always interested in, seeing who the broadcasters were and what have you, because that's what I wanted to do. So I saw Bob Wilson. I knew who he was. He was up there all by himself with an engineer. Nobody to,
talk
keep stats
to
or do color for him. He was up there with an engineer, and they were separated by 6 or 7 feet, whatever, up in the higher tiers of the Boston Garden. And so the next morning, and this is an unbelievable story, but it's true. The next morning, I wrote Bob Wilson a letter saying that I think at the time I was maybe a freshman in high school.
Wow.
And so I wrote a letter to Bob saying, I saw you last night sitting in the press box, and I don't think you had anybody keeping stats for you or doing color or anything else. And, I'm interested in broadcasting, and I'd do anything. I'd keep stats. I'd run to get your coffee, whatever it was that you needed, just to have the opportunity to even once just sit beside you and see how a broadcast is done. But I had written many letters like that in the past to other broadcasters and either got no response or, you know, a canned response, you know, just a typical, well, thank you for inquiring sort of thing, but we can't do that at this point, whatever it was. But so this is I mailed the letter on a Saturday. The game was on a Friday night. Mailed the letter I wrote on a Saturday at a mailbox near my home in Melrose. And so, fine, you know, I said, well, we'll give it a shot. So it was that Monday. I'm talking 2 days later. I was out in the backyard playing wiffle ball with my friends, as we did many, many times. And my father came into the porch area in the back of our house and said he had a phone call.
Wow, cool.
And I said, who is it? Because, you know, at that age, you don't get many calls, really, out of the blue. And certainly it wasn't a girl. But so he said, it's Bob Wilson.
Oh my God!
I couldn't believe it. I said, you know, that can't be. We had a good family friend that I may have mentioned that I wrote a letter to Bob. I couldn't remember.
You thought he was kidding you.
And I thought it was a sham, you know. So I picked up the. But no one could fool me though, because Bob Wilson had the best radio voice ever, in my opinion. No one even comes close. So nobody could fool me. If they were trying to fool me, I would know away.
Right.
So I said hello, and you know, the first word that he uttered, I'm not sure what it was because I'm so nervous, but I was so nervous at the time. But he said, it's Bob Wilson, and it was. And this was a Monday afternoon.
Isn't that great?
He said, the next Braves game I'm doing is this Friday night. He said, if you want to meet me at the press gate at the Garden, I'll come upstairs
you
and
must
you
have
can
just
keep stats.
Died.
Oh my God! I don't think I slept the entire week. You know, this was on a Monday. It was going to happen on a Friday, and I, you know, just doing, you know, trying
that
to keep calm.
That was a freshman of high school.
Yeah.
Holy moly!
Yeah. So, anyway, he, you know, and you know, I wasn't sure if it was a, you know, one shot deal, but I wanted to make as good an impression of this as I possibly could. So I met him at the press gate. I think my father dropped me off at the Garden. I walked up the ramps to the press gate and met Bob Wilson. I mean, just that in itself would have been great. So he took me upstairs, and I mean the press box location was very high atop the ice surface, but a great view. So anyway, we you know, talked a little bit. And said, you know, showed me how he wanted me to keep stats for him. He had a score sheet there. And so just sit next to him, keep stats, and that was easy. So when the night was over, I was wondering, you know, what he would say after the broadcast. So he said, the next game is whenever it was. And he said, you know, can you come back? So then it became a regular thing.
That is so great. That year.
With the Braves, the American Hockey League team, and then the following season, his statistician for the Bruins had a job with Delta Airlines, and they moved their headquarters to Atlanta at that time. And this guy, who was doing stats for Bob for several years, had to move to Atlanta for his job.
Why?
And so he asked me if I'd be interested in keeping stats for
Bruins
games.
What year was that?
That would have been 1971, I believe.
What is that, Neely? Was that after or before Neely?
No, that was before Neely.
Before Neely.
That was the Bobby Orr era.
Still Bobby Orr. That's right, it was.
Yeah, Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito, Ken Hodge, Wayne Cashman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
And so, you know, I was thrilled, you know. So then one night, this was like a couple of years into our friendship, and I would call it that, even though he's a lot older than I am, and but very, very nice to me and really my mentor in the radio business. He said, I was talking with Bob Oakes today, who's the program director at WBZ, and he says they have an opening for a producer to do work behind the scenes. Now, at this point in time, this was like 1972, I had never been in a radio station.
Really?
And to think, really. I mean, I had done all the work with Bob, but it was all
right.
in the garden.
That's right.
You know.
Right.
So I'd never been in a radio station.
Holy moly.
And I was either a junior or a senior at the time in high school when this happened. I think I was a senior in high school. And so I was just, you know, bowled over by it.
Totally.
That he would even think of me in that regard to,
right.
you know. To mention to Bob Oakes that he might have somebody who would be good for it.
Yep.
So I figure, this'll never happen. I don't know. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes at a radio station. I've never been at a radio station.
Right.
So I did go in, have an interview with Bob Oakes. He asked me to bring in some of my work. And the only work that I really had was in a big notebook. And it was articles I had written for the local newspaper about our local sports teams, our Melrose High School basketball, football, hockey, baseball. All I had was articles that I had written.
Wow.
I had no broadcast experience except for a fake radio station I used to have in my bedroom, but that's it. So long story short, this was like in October when he interviewed me. And I didn't hear anything. I got the folder back in the mail.
Yeah.
Just in an envelope. So I figured, well, it was worth a shot. You know, I still was keeping stats with Bob.
Yep.
So, you know, I'll get something. And I was going to broadcasting school at the time.
Cool.
So then early December, I get a call, or probably late November, I got a call from Bob Oakes and said, we have an opening. We want you to work with the disc jockeys on remote at our 700 fund broadcast. And what they used to do was take their mobile studio around to malls and raise money for the 700
wow.
neediest families in the Boston area.
Cool.
And they would go to like the, you know, it was the Steeplegate, not the Steeplegate Mall, but the Liberty Tree Mall
sure.
in Danvers and malls around the Boston area. So there were four of them. It was 4 weeks. And I wasn't. All I had to do really was go to the station in the morning, get the log, but then keep track of all the auction items that they had in an effort
goodness.
To raise money.
Yeah.
So you know, I wasn't doing anything really broadcast related, but I was there, and got my foot in the door.
That's right.
And from that point on, I was on the you know regular producing crew, producing
cool.
talk shows on a 50,000-watt radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like beyond my wildest dreams.
Isn't
I mean, a
awesome.
Station I grew up listening to, and I, you know, I was only like 18 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was such an amazing experience. It truly was. And
That's
so
great.
I thank Bob Wilson for that. So he was really most instrumental in getting me
big
started.
Big inspiration.
Yeah.
Big time.
I mean, I learned more in a couple of days at WBZ than I did at the broadcasting school for, you know, I was only there for a year. But
interesting.
But Bob Wilson certainly was. To make a short story long, that was it. Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. You know what? There is when I thought about my answers for this, I didn't come up with necessarily personal inspiration. But do you want to know who my first inspiration was? You'd never guess.
I probably wouldn't.
It was Bobby Orr.
Really? Number four.
Number
Bobby Orr.
Four. When I was a kid, I was a devotee of the Boston Bruins, and, you know, I used to cry when my mom wouldn't let me watch the game because, you know, for some reason, right? Till we got really clever. My sisters and I got really clever, and we found a way to get a transistor radio.
There you go.
And to go to bed,
yeah.
right? And lights are off and everything, and then we'd go under the sheets.
Hey, so you probably listened to Bob doing it.
I definitely listened.
Yeah,
I didn't know necessarily who I was listening to, but... Yeah,
yep.
I did. And it was funny because he was my first hero, you know.
Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
And the greatness that he had, I personally think he changed the game forever.
Yeah, he definitely revolutionized the game. There's
he
no question
did.
That he did. No
and
question.
His the way he played, the beauty of the way he played has never been touched. And I knew even as a kid that was great.
Yeah.
That was one in a lifetime great.
You're absolutely right
and,
about that.
So he was.
He was.
Years later.
Yes.
Who was number two? Who do you think?
Number two.
Wasn't basketball. It wasn't hockey.
Wasn't hockey. Years later.
My second hero was Larry Bird.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Makes sense, yeah.
And again, here's the theme, right? Who knew? The theme was the work ethic that produced greatness. Right, Bobby Orr, I think, was probably just the beauty, the power, and the knowledge that even as a kid, I knew he was changing the game. That now defensemen were not stuck in front of the net anymore. They were now going to score, and they could control the game, right? Yeah. So that was just kind of him. But the thing with Bird was that he should not have ever been able to do, supposedly, what he would do on the floor.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And even
right.
he would laugh. I can't jump.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But this
wasn't all that fast.
Yeah. You know, yeah. right? All those things. And look at what he did. He was a thinking man's ball player. And his work ethic must have been
absolutely
through the roof.
Second to none, I would have to think. Yeah.
Absolutely. That affected me.
Like him, in a lot of ways, like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose you're going to have the GOAT argument, of course, with Bird, because certainly the ones that seem, the players that came off more, quote, athletic, right? But I don't know that a computer brain on the floor ever lived like he played. Because he
amazing.
Saw the play before it
Both
happened. And when you go on, if you go on YouTube, I send them to my kids all the time. I don't know if they watch them. No, because they're not great ball lovers right now. But I laugh when I see the predictions. If you go on YouTube and you put on Bird predictions, right, or Bird games, you'll find a ton of predictions. Would he go over to the other team and he'd say, you know, I'm going to be over on the third right side, 3-point line. I'm going to barrel this through, right? And then he would do it.
Yeah.
And there's
a great trash
video
talker.
After
he was a trash talker. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I loved it then.
Two great choices. You can't argue with Bobby Orr and Larry Bird, that's
you
for sure.
You cannot.
That's Jane Cormier. I'm Ken Kale. It's In Touch with Kale and Cormier here at 103.9 1450 WKXL NHTalkRadio.com. 103.9 1450 WKXL NHTalkRadio.com. In Touch, Kale and Cormier, Ken Kale, Jane Cormier. We're playing five questions today. And I think, what have we gotten to number four?
I think we're close. Anyway.
Okay, we're close.
We're close.
We may not even get to five, folks.
Well,
Time flies when you're having fun.
That was actually only two, I think, when I asked you who inspired you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But that's okay. So whose turn is it? Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
It's my turn. All right. So what is the biggest challenge of your life?
Biggest challenge? Boy, there's a good one. You know, like I say, I've been very fortunate to do basically what I've always wanted to do. But I think, honestly, the biggest challenge, and not because... You know, they were ever in any difficulty or anything like that, but because of the times being the way that they were then, and probably even more so now, was in raising children.
I agree.
Raising two daughters, and both of them have come out very, very well. One, my oldest daughter went to the University of Connecticut and is a teacher now in the public schools in Boston, and my youngest daughter. Was the valedictorian at Central High School.
Cool.
Went on to Yale. I mean, valedictorian. I hardly graduated from high school. Really. You laugh, but it's true.
You didn't have to. You already had your gig.
But, yeah, true. But my daughter Melissa went to Yale after that and now is working from her home in Brooklyn, doing some educational stuff. Taught in a charter school for a number of years, but proud of both of them. And, you know, both of them came away from their teenage and collegiate years unscathed. And I think, you know, thanks to their mother and their dad.
Myself.
And I was going to give myself credit.
There you go.
But they were great kids and still are to this day. I think that's got to be the biggest challenge.
I think that's the biggest challenge. Anybody that understands what it is to child rear.
It's not easy. And I'm sure, I mean, now they're both in their 30s. But I'm sure now it's even more difficult.
No doubt about it.
Than it was then.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right, my question to you is, you have traveled extensively around the world. But is there a place that you haven't been that you would like to visit?
Yeah, I would say I would like to spend more time in the Slavic countries. I did a couple of times go over the border from Vienna. I guess it was Romania or Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia, I guess it was at the time, right? But the Slavic countries are the only countries that I haven't extensively experienced, right? And I would probably like to go back to them. I've seen a good amount of Italy, so that's fine. I have no real drive to see. I know that sounds weird, but I have never had any drive to like go to the Orient. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen a bit of Russia. It was quite beautiful. But I think the Slavic countries in Europe, if I had a choice, I would spend some time over there and get a taste. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Now we'll take a quick break. And, you know, we're heading down the home stretch here.
We are.
But we're having a good time. We're having a good time.
Always.
We hope the audience is as well. It's In Touch with Cale and Cormier on 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. We are indeed heading down the home stretch. Down the stretch they come here on In Touch with Cale and Cormier, 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. So do you have another one for me?
I do. A very easy one. If you had nothing scheduled for your day, what would you do?
Well, of course, I mean, depends on how many days after that I would have nothing to do.
Okay.
But if for immediate, something immediate, probably go to a casino somewhere.
Really?
If I had a few hours to kill.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's probably that's probably what I would do.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I wouldn't have thought that. That's cool. Okay. So you have no responsibilities. You're just going to go out for one day and do whatever you want, and you would go to a casino.
That's
right?
Probably the truth. Yeah.
Cool.
That's probably what I would do if I just had one. Or, you know, if there was a ball game close by, that's what I would do.
But, a ball game, yeah.
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 Yeah. Some kind of athletic event.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I could see that.
How about you?
I don't know. This one's hard for me. I think it wouldn't be anything beyond finding a beautiful space, beautiful place outside that I could enjoy on. And I do turn off. I'm one of those that does believe I shut the phone right off.
Yep.
I tell my kids,
that's a good idea.
The phone's shutting off, guys. If you need me, I'll check in. But near water. And beautiful and quiet, and just be able to spend that day by myself.
You know, I agree. I love sometimes just taking a chair down by the Merrimack River behind the Everett Arena and just sitting there and just watching nature. Sometimes I shouldn't be doing this, but feeding the squirrels.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I do.
There
you
go.
Yeah. But,
that's what I would do.
Yeah. I think that's terrific as well.
Not that exciting, is it?
Well, mine wasn't either, but, but that's the kind of people we are.
I guess so.
So we have less than a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you this. I mean, it's a two-part question.
Okay.
And who is your favorite president? Who is your least favorite president of the United States?
Least favorite was Obama, and the most favorite president was Reagan.
That's amazing.
Why?
Because you know what?
What? You're saying?
I would give you the same answers. I would give you the same answers, except there's somebody that's really catching up very quickly.
Really?
Yeah.
I won't ask you.
In terms of
likeability or least?
Least. Yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't even really put that on there. I went to the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with you.
I think by the end of these 4 years, I think we will. I will have another person if
indeed.
Somebody ever asks me again.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, nobody did ask me. I just sort of asked myself.
Yeah. That's all right.
But you know what? I don't know if we didn't really get to the five questions.
We came close, but it was fun. We had a good time with it, didn't we?
We did come close. All right, here's a quick one.
All right.
All right. Maybe it's one that requires a little more thought.
All right.
But this is going to be number five.
Okay.
All right, we have about 30 seconds.
Okay.
All right, best concert you ever attended?
Luciano Pavarotti, he did a concert in Boston Common for a movie called Giorgio. Something Giorgio.
I, Giorgio.
Yeah.
That was the one.
That was the one.
Yeah. And there were some scenes, I think, at Fenway Park, too.
Yeah. I think I was actually in that movie.
You were
in the audience.
I, Giorgio.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
An extra.
You saw my husband at that time in that movie more than you saw me.
There you go. Well, there you go. There's five questions. In touch with Kale and Cormier. We thank you very much for listening. Join us for our next Kale and Cormier In Touch.